Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M., and I come from Massachusetts, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday. It's May 12th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're going to be on page 37, paragraph 2, that begins with, "You may think this is an extreme case," and ending with, "How it could have happened," and comment on this paragraph only. Now, today's read is after the 12 steps. It's going to be Tanya P. and 12 Tradition KF. Our readers for the text is Chanel T, Shelley E, will be doing 164, and Lou Ann C. Our newcomer greeter is Devorah S. And announcements today is Robin P. Now, I have two share IDs for you. Now, the share ID for Monday, that's May 11th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,448. And Tuesday, this morning, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,450. That's 23,450. Okay, this is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, nor accepting outside donations. And OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now I will kindly ask Tanya P. to please read the OA 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovering in Michigan, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 2012, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you so much, Tanya P. I will now ask Kate F. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Janice. And good morning, everyone. This is Kate F. from Washington State. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Kate F. Now, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. What we do is we read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing you, and I will say kindly, time, singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what we are sharing, what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Now, in order to share, press star 1 to unmute. Now, once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Again, I will kindly remind you if you are unmuted. Now, today we're going to resume our study in the Big Book. And as I said, we are on page 37, paragraph 2. And I'm going to ask Chanel T. to begin reading for us, please.
Hi, hopefully you can hear me okay. Hi, this is Chanel T. in Washington State. Thank you for your service, Janice, and everyone on the line. I am a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Second paragraph 37, you may think this is an extreme case. To us, it is not far-fetched, for this kind of thinking has been characteristic of every single one of us. We have sometimes reflected more than Jim did upon the consequences, but there was always the curious mental phenomenon that parallel with our sound reasoning, there inevitably ran some insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. The insane idea won out. Next day, we would ask ourselves in all earnestness and sincerity how it could have happened. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. Wow, been reading my diary for most of my life. Here's the thing. I have no choice over the addiction itself. I don't have a choice over that. And as an addict, I simply cannot rely on my brain to think my way out of it. I think I remember this in OA back in the day, and I wasn't here that long ago. It was 2016, but something about think your way out of the box. If I could do that, I would not need a 12-step program. I cannot trust my thinking. I'm going to say it again. I cannot trust my thinking. I could have great thinking and reasoning about so many things in life, but when it comes to the drug of my no choice, which is food and food behaviors, could be other things as well, but it's food and food behaviors, and that's why we're here in Overeaters Anonymous. I'm a compulsive eater. I can't trust my thinking, and I don't think my way into right action. I act my way into right thinking. And that is one of the many, but one of the key, it's foundational, it's a counterintuitive is the word I want, way that the steps work. It's a spiritual solution to a physical and mental malady. What? How's that? That doesn't make sense. Because it does affect my spirit too. I mean, it's pretty spiritually defeating to be trapped by something that doesn't seem like it would do it. Food behaviors, doesn't seem like that would trap somebody, that would hold somebody in bondage, but it sure does with me. I'm an addict with certain, not every food, certain foods, certain ingredients, and certain food behaviors. I'm an addict. That means I don't have a choice in that matter. And this is a cunning, baffling disease that is telling me in my own voice, in my own head, the insane idea that I'm not an addict, or that it'll be okay this time, or that I could just have a little, or that I deserve it, or, you know what, it makes sense. You're having the milk, so put the whiskey in it. It'll be okay. It's on a full stomach. My goodness, I used to try to treat feeling sick from food, with other food. I did that all the time. So I can't trust my brain, but I can trust the steps, because then I'm trusting my higher power to do for me the things I can't do for myself. There's lots of things I can do for myself. I just don't have any choice when it comes to this. I don't have a choice. So I can either turn to my higher power and work the steps. And as you hear a few people in this program say, I'm either going to pick up the steps and work them like my life depends on it, because I do believe it does. Or I'm going to pick up something. I'm going to pick up something, and the thing that works the best for me to pick up is the steps. It is the easier, softer way for me. So please let me continue to do that every day, the rest of my life, God, please. And if you're new, stick with us. It's going to happen for you. All you got to do. Stay here, get abstinent, even though it's horrific at first. Work the steps with a sponsor using this book that lays it out plainly. And the recovery does come. Today I have freedom. It's a daily reprieve, but it's freedom. Never thought that was possible. With that, I think I may have gone over time. I will pass. Thank you so much. Janice, we don't hear you. I'm not sure. I'm thinking maybe Jana Scott's kicked off the line. So why don't we go ahead and take a lineup of people, but just a reminder to please, I do not have the script, so I'm going to do the best I can. I should have the script in front of me, but I don't. If you have shared in the last 2 days on, or last, yeah, 2 days on any vision meeting, please hold back and let others share. Every third day is when we share. And please give me your first name, last initial, what state you're calling from, and I will try to scribble down your names really fast, okay? Who would like to share on this paragraph? Nancy L. in Arizona. Got you.
Yes, ma'am.
Ian.
Yeah. Got Ian. Got Luann.
Wendy. Wendy M.
Got Wendy
Shanti.
M. One more time.
Shanna.
Was it Shanna?
Tennessee. Yes.
Got you. Okay.
Regina V. From California.
Regina V. Regina V. Got you. Did I hear Denise? Devorah. I got Devorah. Who else would like, this is 37, page 37 in the big book. It's the second paragraph. And let me go ahead and read the first line of that. You may think this is an extreme case. Hold on 2 seconds. Ends with next day we would ask ourselves in all earnestness and sincerity how it could have happened. Who was that?
Hey, this is Shanna C. Please take my name off the list. I accidentally asked to share when I shared on Friday. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. You know what? If you shared on Friday, okay. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you. I can't do the math, but I believe you.
Yep.
Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Lynn D., California.
Got you, Lynn. Anybody else?
Annie from L.A.
Got you, Annie.
Mary C., Ohio.
Mary C., Ohio. I'll take one more and then let's just see what happens, okay? One more? Janice, are you back on the line?
Denise P., Pittsburgh.
Denise P. Gotcha, Denise. All right. Janice, if you're on the line, you're muted, just to let you know. I'm going to go ahead and say the people that we've got here, and then if Janice is, are you here? Okay.
Can you hear me? Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So I got a lineup. Do you want me to go ahead and tell you who they are?
I'd appreciate that. Go ahead, Deb.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
First up will be Nancy L. in Arizona. Nancy L. in Arizona. Second is Ian F. in Indiana. Ian F. in Indiana. Then we have Luann C. in Idaho. Luann C. in Idaho. Then we have Wendy M. in Colorado. Wendy M., Colorado. Then we have Regina V. You know what? I think she's in California, but she'll tell you. Then we have Devorah S. I think she's in New Jersey.
Yep.
Then we have Lynn D., like David, in California. Then we have Annie M., like Mary, in California.
Oh, boy.
Did you get...
Annie,
sorry, I was going too fast.
Ladies, this is
yes.
Melanie here. Chanel, can we keep that line up to just only six? Because we want to make sure that we get enough people to go the next round. And I believe that Janice is back. There's a bit of confusion here. I think I hear in the background.
Yes, she's back. I was letting her know who was on it because
No,
you're great.
Let's leave that list to only six so that we get a chance to mix it up again with a call.
Yes, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking over, you know, how this is. All right, we're going to have Nancy Elder from Arizona. Has she shared yet? Nancy L, star one.
Yes.
You want
yes. This is Nancy L. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Bless your heart, you guys. You're doing a really great job. Okay, Nancy L., recovered in Arizona from compulsive overeating. Yes, boy, this reading is just amazing. You know, I would wake up in the morning, and I would just, the first thing that would happen would be I'd have this horrible, dark,
cloud on over me and in my head saying, you did it again. You weren't going to eat yesterday. You know, just the whole beat up thing, constantly beating myself up. And so then I would make immediately, I would start saying, okay, here's what I'm going to do today that's really going to work for me. I'm reminded of a child who the teacher says, Johnny, you get up to that blackboard, or Sally, you get up to that blackboard and you write 100 times, I will not cheat. 100 times, write it, and then you won't cheat anymore, right? Well, that's what I would do with the food. I would write, I would pray, blah, blah, blah. And the disease just kept progressing and progressing. The thing I needed was a spiritual remedy, not some kind of a hard bat over the head remedy. I needed a spiritual remedy. And my power says, I have come to set the captives free. And I was a captive with the food from 5 years old to 55 years old. I've been in a normal, healthy body size for 22 years. Thank you, God. My doctor says, Nancy, your heart loves your weight. And I'll always, always hang on to that. My heart loves my weight. And I thank you for hearing me and have a great day.
And thank you for your share, Nancy, from Arizona. Now we have Eon S. from Indiana. Good morning to you, Eon.
Good morning. My name is Eon F. I'm from Indiana.
Oh. Sorry about that.
Oh, you're all good. My favorite story from my personal life that illustrates how the food was for me is that I dated a girl a couple years ago who just, we were just a bad fit. We broke up and got back together like 3 or 4 times. And it caused me some of the most emotional distress I've ever had in my recovery. And I remember we'd been apart for several months and I'd been telling all my friends, don't let me get back with her. Don't let me get back with her. It's not going to happen. I know how that goes. It's terrible. And then she walked into my place of work. She'd been hired on the same place. And my first thought, overwhelming thought was, oh my God, that's the most beautiful woman in the world. That's how it was with the food. And my favorite line in this paragraph is they say, we have sometimes reflected more than Jim did upon the consequences. Some of us have. Sometimes we do think, you know, oh, every time I eat 5 pounds of cheddar cheese, my gastrointestinal tract does not enjoy that. And yet, there we go again. You know, and like that's one of the things that you can identify as being like, okay, I know that I'm an addict because that's how I think. Normal people, they eat something that's terrible for them. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll stop, but they'll be able to connect in their minds. When I eat this way, it fucks me up. So I need to either moderate that or stop it entirely. Us, we can know that it'll do that to us, and we will be completely unable to stop ourselves from moderating or stopping entirely without help. You know, our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. I am not a stupid person. You know, it's not that I'm unintelligent. It's not that I don't care. It's just that I have this thing in my head that drives me. It's inexplicable. That's why they call it a mental phenomenon. Psychologists, I've been with specialists. They don't understand why this thing works. While we don't claim a monopoly, we're not a scientific program, we're not a medical one, but we're looking at, hey, we have this thing in our heads that's inexplicable. Here's something that we've tried that has overcome it.
And that's time, please.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you. Could you spell your name, your first name, please? I didn't get it. All right. Perhaps you left. All right. Let's have Lou Ann from Idaho, I believe.
Yes, good morning. Man, what an example of leadership teamwork this morning. It was impressive. Thank you. Thank you. You too, everyone. I'm Lou Ann C., and today I'm very grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho. And I have a note on the side of the paragraph, and it's the word chilling, because it reminded me of the movie where the call is coming from inside the house. Oh my God, it sends shivers down me. I have just been so loving the reminders that the mental aspect doesn't go away. And so now the question for me isn't just whether a food will set up the craving, but the more important question of, does this food or behavior support the parallel thinking? Does it energize the defensive thinking that includes justification and rationalizing and defending the idea that I don't have to tell anyone? Basically, my disease has a law firm, and it can convince me there's no difference between 4.1 and 4.0 on the scale. And to a normal eater, it isn't. There isn't. But as a compulsive overeater, the thinking that it starts up puts me in the middle of the thinking that can't see the difference between apples in an apple pie and a fresh apple, or that this resentment isn't important enough to inventory, or getting up for my prayer time is cutting into my sleep. Just for today, I'm going to sleep in, and that thinking turns into a week, and then I'm out on my own with only my thinking to depend on, and God, then I'm in trouble. So when I'm feeling a little uneasy about my abstinence, I need to proactively look at the past week and ask myself, where was the disease trying to support it? Where do I need to renew my efforts in the work? Just as if I was evaluating my work at the gym. So I'm just so grateful for this daily reminder of my condition and the inspiration to take my medication, which is the work. So thank you all for helping me every day. I pass.
And thank you so much, Lee N. from Idaho. All right, now we have Wendy M. from Colorado. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Janice. Thanks for your service. I love the lead share. You know, I'm eating and I'm so miserable that I need the food to take care of my misery. Love it, love it, love it, right? That's the spree. But I'm Wendy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, so I didn't say that. I get so excited with these pages. You know, I have to tell you guys, it says here like curious mental phenomenon, right? Like, how did that happen? You guys, this is not rocket science. I know when I'm using. I know when I'm lying. You know, more about lying, more about minimizing, more about justification, more about bullshit. Here's what works for me, and this is what I talk to people about when they're in the relapse, is like we're in the, and you can't make me. You see, when I'm in this state, I don't want to make a phone call because I don't want you guys to talk me out of it because I'm already in. It's like, you know, the previous several pages, you know, my mental, my spiritual life is not I'm not in conscious contact with my creator, right? So I'm either in two worlds. There's God's world, which is love, which is faith, which is surrender, which is an open hand. And there's Wendy's world, which is a clenched fist, self, fear, want, me, what can I get from the occasion rather than what can I bring to the occasion, right? This is not rocket science. This is not a trivial excuse. I'll use any reason not to call you. Or if I call you, I'm wanting you to co-sign off my bullshit, right? So I must lie to get the hit, like somebody said, and I've done it. The apple in the apple pie, calling it in as my fruit for the evening. Like, this isn't rocket science. Like, I know when I'm lying. Like, Jim calls it the, like, that cure, you know, that it felt a little off, right? And it's like, it didn't feel a little off. Like the brilliance of this chapter and this paragraph is it names what we are actively doing. You know, you can say I'm in a trance, didn't know I did it, but we do know that we're doing it, right? And when we can name that, wow, if we can name that lie, we can get to God with the truth and then we get freedom. God is literally 2 seconds away. Thank you.
Thank you so much. People have to pardon me. I'm timing you. I'm either over or under this clock of mine. Here is the blame game. But anyway, thank you, Wendy. I'm from Colorado. We have Regina. Yeah, you had a little more time. Regina B. Where are you from, Regina?
Hi, everybody. My name is Regina V. from California. And I love this. I highlighted this, where I highlighted insanely trivial excuse for taking the first drink. Our sound reasoning failed to hold us in check. The insane idea won out. And, you know, if I'm not in recovery, I will kill myself. I was full-blown diabetes, and no matter how hard I try to lose weight, by myself I could not do it at all, knowing that if I didn't lose the weight, I would die. And so I did find 12-step recovery. It wasn't OA. It was another food program, but it at least it helped me lose the weight. Now, did I enlarge my spiritual life? No. So I was white-knuckling it, and I was miserable. Now I am in this program, OA, and I'm still struggling. But I know what the key is. The key is, you know, working the steps and having a really strong relationship with my higher power. And that's what I'm working on every day. And yesterday, I think it was the first time that the very first thought that came to my mind when I woke up was, God help me to stay abstinent, because I was in a full-blown binge for 1 week. And on Mother's Days, when I was able to not, you know, eat any recreational sugar. But on Friday, I was on a really bad binge, and I spoke to somebody in OA, and I didn't want to tell them that after I was going to hang up with her, I was going to eat some, you know, recreational sugar. And something told me, just tell her that what you're going to do. As soon as I told her the truth, the obsession was lifted. I flushed it down the toilet. And somebody shared with me and said, remember that in where it says the truth will set you free? And I was like, wow, that's true. That's for real. Because I didn't eat that crap that I was that I would wanted to. And I would have ate it had I not told her what my plans and my intentions were. I would have definitely have eaten that. But, yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
And right on time. And thank you so much, Regina B. from California. Now we have Deborah S. from New Jersey. Star 1 to unmute.
Hi. I also realized I shared Friday. I wasn't thinking. I passed.
All right. Well, thank you for your honesty, Deborah. The next one we have is Leoness. I don't know if I'm saying your name right. Pardon me. Is there a Leoness? Leoness? Sound anything like it? All right. Maybe you can come in again and correct me. Let's go to Annie M. for now. Annie M., please. Oh, boy. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Janice. Are you sure it wasn't Lynn D. by chance?
Hello?
Go ahead. Who is that?
This is Annie from Los Angeles.
All right, Annie, you go next, and then we'll go back to whoever. I don't know what name it is, okay? Go ahead, Annie.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for your recovery. It's so beautiful to hear the honesty. That's the stuff that is so, it's a suffering, you know. We have to have the suffering to be able to have the enlightenment, you know, to have the insight. I'm struggling still, you know. I'm still kind of eating the way that I was eating. I know that my relationship with food has always been with me, like this, it's not normal. But I realize, like, it's so neat to be able to talk to you guys because you all get it. But I have a really strong will, and I'm 10 pounds overweight, and that has been, like, you know, recent, not that long ago, and that's when I started to really start going, you know, I need to go to OA, I need to get help. And you think only 10 pounds, but it's going to be 20 pounds in, like, you know, a few more months or however long, I think. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like you say, the weight isn't the issue. The issue is that I need this stuff. You know, I need to eat like this. There's a lot going on in my life, which is, if you're a human being, a lot is going on. And the thing that helps me get through is my night eating. It's like giving up a lover, you know, it's like, I just don't want to. But I do. And I know that.
Kindly reminder. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. I know that it's just listening and going on here and being honest, because that's what I need. I need some help with the loneliness and the isolation. And I love the steps. And so anyways, thank you, everybody, for being here.
Thank you, Annie M. We understand. Okay. How about, I don't know who, is there somebody else that would like to share at this time? Plenty of time.
Mary C., I was on the list.
Say it again, hon.
Mary C., and I was on the original list.
Oh, let's go, Mary C. Why don't you come, go now?
Okay, thank you. Mary C., and I'm from Ohio. And, you know, I wasn't going to share. I was not going to share today, but listening to all the shares has given me the strength to share after all. And I've been struggling. This is at the end of this week. It'll be 4 years for me. And I have not compulsively overeaten or binged, but I'm playing with my food. I think in my little brain, I've got this. I'm 4 years abstinent, and I'm still the same weight and wear the same clothes. I'm cured. I know I'm cured. So, you know, that's my sick mind talking to me, you know, and I realize that I guess the honeymoon is over. And so now I really need to really buckle down, do the steps, work the steps. And this weekend I'm going to my first OA retreat, and I'm so excited because this is exactly what I needed in my life right now that God put in my life. And I volunteered to participate in this retreat, even though I have not a clue what it's about or what it is, but I still wanted to participate and do service. And I'm just looking for, you know, to stop that crazy thinking that I'm cured and that I could do whatever I want now. And because I've become a normal eater. And I'm not. I know that. I know that in the back of my mind, but my little crazy brain keeps trying to tell me that you're okay now. You're cured. And so it's that crazy, crazy thinking and that broken mind I have. So I pray for the willingness to let this go and let God guide me and pause and pray. Pause and pray. That's what I'm going to do now. That's my focus for this next week, is pause and pray and ask God for help and willingness. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing, Mary C. from Ohio. Okay, I'm ready to take a few more names. Let's see. It's 10:40. Who would like to share at this time? I'll take about three or four. Go ahead. One.
Can I go ahead, Jordan?
The first Jordan. Name was what? First name, woman?
Jordan.
No. All right, we'll have Jordan, and who was before you?
Doreen N.
Doreen.
N. Liesl F.
Doreen. N. And next from, go ahead, after Doreen.
Liesl F.
Spell that, please.
L-I-E-S-L. And then F, as in state. California.
Oh, okay, Lisa. Okay, thank you. Let's go with one more.
Denise P. in Pennsylvania.
Right. Denise B or P? B?
B as in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes. All right, let's have Jordan. What's your first initial to your last name, dear? Jordan.
R, Jordan R.
Okay, and where are you from?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, little Rhode Island. Okay, please go ahead. Your turn.
This is Jordan. I'd like to leave my number 617.
Okay. All right, what we do is we take numbers in a little bit, okay? Would you like to share it this time?
All right. Yeah, I wanted to get current, so doing pretty well. On my food plan and exercising. But I really feel like I need to meet with a step work my sponsor, which I'm working on, which I haven't really worked on. But I'm happy that I'm making progress, feeling healthier. I'm going to see my doctor tomorrow so I get a better report. Yeah, but that'll pass.
Well, stick around, Jordan, and you can get a sponsor. At the end of the meeting, we'll have some names and numbers for you. All right. Okay, Doreen N. Where are you from, Doreen? Star 1 to unmute.
Austin, Texas.
Okay, Texas. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Thank you for your service and great shares. My name is Doreen N., compulsive overeater from Austin, Texas. Let me tell you something. I'm recovered but not cured. When you have a prescription, take three times daily at, you know, same kind of thing. We have a prescription. We also have a subscription that is canceled and needs to be renewed each day. And I can honestly tell you that I have 54 days. I had nothing to do with that. Yes, I did the footwork, but God took care of the results. And a lot of people say abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. Not for this compulsive overeater. God is the most important thing in my life without exception. And he helps me stay abstinent. Because abstinence alone does not cut it because it turns into white knuckling. I should know because it's been happening over and over. And I was like, oh, this is one and done. I don't have to do, you know, any more step work. I'm tired of this. You know, it's too much work. BS, because the disease takes over you and justifies everything, lies to you. And you took time to eat and plan your binges, Doreen, right? You can certainly take time to do these steps. Reach out, do your 10th step, do your 11th step. And I am so super, super grateful that I am now back. I've been around since 95, slipping and sliding, and you just get tired. I'm battle weary. I've had my ass kicked. I had my face punched. Now I have freedom one day at a time, and without God's help, I wouldn't be able to do it. Thank you for everyone. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Doreen. Okay, we have L-I-E-S-O. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Guys, it's Liesl. L-I-E-S-L, as in Larry Liesl. Just so grateful to be here. And I found that I just keep praying for the willingness and ask God to keep helping me. You know, sometimes I'm like, gosh, I don't know what to eat, and just stop and pause and pray, and I don't know what to say, and come with me here, come with me there, God, let's go, here we go.
to plug into you. I'm totally powerless over people, places, and things, and thanks to this program, I have this script, and I just, gosh, I finally have, like, a, if you ever go bowling, you have these, you know, little bumper rails you can put on the side. I have bumper rails, and I can remember, like, going to see friends, and then afterwards, and having all these feelings, and I never even knew what the words were for the feelings, and I feel that thanks to program, I can identify, like, what's going on, and I feel like it always goes back to just wanting to be so damn perfect, but, and so I surrender that, because I just, that's why we have, that's why I have God, and I just want to do His will, whatever that is, and I'm so damn controlling, I control everything, and I see, I pray for God to help me, like, if you're in the bathroom, I'm like, oh, no, don't go to the bathroom. If I'm tired, oh, you can't be tired, or you can't be hungry. All these humanly bodily things, I'm realizing it's not just the food. It's, like, anything that's human, human-esque, if that's the word, I am still wanting to deny myself of. And, you know, that's not what God wants for me, and I want to be a mom one day. And thanks to program, I'm saying to myself, you know what? Not just being a mom to yourself, and you wouldn't deny that child a nap or a snack or, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm so grateful to be here, and although I'm rambling, what I want to say is thanks to you guys and program, I'm not alone. God gave me this disease that I would come to Him, and I'm grateful that it's a gentle, soft disease and not one of heroin in that way, but the food is just a symptom, and thank God for this day, for the opportunity to be here, and I just ask that I can do His will, and for the willingness to keep crying. In Jesus' name, we pass.
Okay, thank you so much. I think we have about a minute left for you. Denise S. from Pennsylvania, please.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming back, Janice. You know, Jim is not the jaywalker who lost his leg, but he's like the jaywalker, and I am too. I lost the ability to not act upon that sound reasoning. He learned in the God-given consequences I hear in this. I just wanted to share how I lost the ability to choose. I used to be able to use and abuse the food, although when I contracted the mental obsession, I can't go back anymore to being a woman who used to be able to walk on both my legs. I am today accepting my drug of preference. I don't call it a drug of choice. I don't prefer alcohol. I don't prefer sedatives from the, prescription sedatives from my mental health issue, you know. But what I have now today is that I can stay in abstinence with the acceptance of my higher power, and that I don't have to be in denial. That's that survival mode. Don't even notice I am lying. It made me survive, but now those lies have become so contemptuous. They're so corruptible. I want to stay in acceptance. With that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, just in time. Thank you so much, Denise. Okay, we come to the end of this meeting for today. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Okay, closing. Will Shelley E. please read 164, please?
You bet, Janice. Thanks for your service. Good morning, I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. I read that right, yeah. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks for letting me do service, and I pass.